Hi, Church. Thank you for tuning into our live stream. We're so happy you're here. We are partnering with the 2100 Men's Shelter. We want to give them hygiene kits. If you are interested in being part of that and helping us, you can check out our app or our website. Thank you so much for your generosity. There are two ways to give. The first one is on our Christ Church Ohio app, and the second one is on our website. We are so happy you're here. I hope you enjoy the service.
Church, welcome to our live stream. We're so happy to see you. I'd love for you to worship with us wherever you're at today. Thank you.
Christchurch, thank you so much for joining us here online. We're so glad you could be with us. I'm going to say a prayer to get us started. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you would please be at work in our hearts today. We are in a place, Father, where we need you so much. Our country needs you, our churches need you, our communities, our family, our own hearts, Father, are pleading with you for help this morning. Would you please be with us and help us, I pray. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. In Jim Collins' book, Good to Great, he teaches this very interesting idea called the Stockdale Paradox, and it comes from an interview he did with a man named James Stockdale. James Stockdale was a prisoner of war during the Vietnam War, and he was actually held captive for over 7 years. Everything about his circumstances as a prisoner of war seemed absolutely impossible. He had no release date anywhere in the foreseeable future. He didn't know how long his imprisonment would last. He had no rights, he experienced isolation and different degrees of torture. And not only did he survive the abuse and the deprivations that came from being a prisoner of war, but he even admits that he came out of the prison camp stronger than when he went in. Even in prison and in these terrible circumstances, he carried the burden of command and tried to help others who were also prisoners of war. He tried to create the kind of environment that he could help as many prisoners survive this circumstance and not be ruined by it, and also find ways to fight against those who held them captive. When Jim Collins interviewed him, he asked him who didn't make it out of the prison camps, who didn't survive. Stockdale responded, "The optimists." He said, "The optimists, they were the ones who said, we're going to be out by Christmas, and Christmas would come and Christmas would go. And then they'd say, we're going to be out by Easter. And then Easter would come and Easter would go. And then they'd say Thanksgiving. And then it would come. And then it would be, okay, Christmas. And they died of a broken heart." But listen to what he said. "This is what I learned from those years in the prison camp, where all those constraints were just oppressive. You must never, ever confuse, on the one hand, the need for absolute, unwavering faith that you can prevail despite those constraints, with, on the other hand, the need for the discipline to begin by confronting the brutal facts, whatever they are, we're not getting out of here by Christmas." And then he went on to say this. Listen to how powerful this is. He said, "I never lost faith in the end of the story. I never doubted not only that I would get out, but also that I would prevail in the end and turn the experience into the defining event of my life, which in retrospect, I would not trade. I think this sentence, what he says, it's the faith that you will prevail in the end while also confronting the reality of right now, no matter how brutal, that is so incredibly powerful. That's how James Stockdale not only survived these horrible circumstances, but he helped others to survive as well. Now, I can't imagine just how awful and brutal those years must have been. I can't imagine getting to the other side of this and thinking I wouldn't trade that experience because who I was when I came out of it. I can't even begin to imagine like the kind of strength and the resilience that enables somebody like James Stockdale to prevail where many others didn't. But friends, it is a powerful reminder for us today. Not only is survival possible, but so are things like strength and resilience and grit and growth. I'm reminded when I read stories about men like James Stockdale who've gone through things 10 times harder than I've ever had to experience, that if a man like that could survive and grow and be stronger on the other side of it, then so can we today. Now, here's what I think is interesting for us. Some of us are those optimists he was talking about, thinking this is going to be over any day now, right? This is going to be over by summer, and then we put the next day and the next, and then month after month happens, and our hearts start to break a little bit every time we get to that deadline and it's not over. Or others of us have started to waver in that faith and that belief that we're somehow going to prevail in the end, and we're lost in the now and can't see any way out of where we are. I love what he said. We aren't getting out of here by Christmas, but it also doesn't mean that we will be here forever. Today, I want to remind us that not only must we not lose this faith in the end of our story, but God has provided ways for us to prevail right now where we are. Everything that we're facing, everything that we're trying to work our way through right now, today, all that we're experiencing can become defining moments in our life. It can become moments where we learn from what we're going through, moments where we can grow from who we were to who we might become, and even God willing, we can have these moments that help us become stronger because of it. So I want to remind us one more time, because that sounds great in theory, but how do we do it, right? How do we practice that? How do I do that in my life today, tomorrow, instead of the alternative? And so we're going to go back to Psalm 37 and listen to what David tells us all those years ago. He says in Psalm 37, verse 5 and 6, "Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday." Now, I love this because remember, David's giving us right now healthy guides, healthy steps to things we can do every single day, things we can practice right now to help us work through the process of what's going on. And he gives us these ideas that kind of mash really, really well together. The first one is the idea of a commitment. We commit. We commit our way to the Lord. And if you've ever made a commitment before, you know, a commitment is an agreement to do something. It's a way that you agree to move forward. Now, if you look up what does a commitment actually mean, it's the ability to stick with something long after the initial excitement is gone. It's that choice you make to stick with something or someone, even when it isn't easy. Commitment is what stays, what remains after interest and excitement wear away. Interest is what gets us started, but commitment is the thing that keeps moving us forward. Now, we make commitments to all kinds of things, right? We make commitments in our relationships, commitments to go on diets or to exercise. We make a commitment when we sign up for a mortgage or jobs or doing life in certain ways. And let's be honest, if you've bought a house before, it was exciting to move into a new house. It was exciting to sign those papers and move your stuff in and decorate. That was exciting. But that excitement wears really, really thin after making mortgage payments for 13 years, right? When you send that money in, it's not quite as exciting as it was all those years ago. It's exciting when you have your big wedding day and you say your I do, and if you're a girl like me, you got a big fancy dress, and that was so much fun to have the big party and that celebration and that excitement to start your life together and be married. But anybody who has stayed committed to their spouse over time knows that excitement wears off and you work to stay committed to each other day after day. It can be so exciting to start something new, but how do you stay committed for the long haul? Once that newness wears off, or when things get hard, because life is messy, right? And things inevitably get hard, how do you keep your commitments when it's not easy? How do you keep your commitments when it's not exciting? How do you keep your commitments when you don't want to? How do you stick with the things that matter the most, even when the spirit is gone that you made the commitment in? David tells us, we commit our way to the Lord. Saying yes to Jesus when I want to follow him, that's the beginning. But growing up with him day after day after day, that's the rest. And when we say we commit our way to the Lord, what we're saying is we move forward with Jesus Christ. Commitment shows up in the actions that we take every single day. Every day requires us to answer the question, how am I going to do life with Christ today? If I'm going to be committed to him, how do I do life with him today? And we do this by trusting in him. Because David says, commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. And trust is this confidence, sureness, boldness, or just being simply secure in something. We're able to commit our life, our way, our right nows to Christ because we find our confidence in him. We are sure of him because in him we find the security, the strength, the boldness that we need to do life as it is right now. We have faith that we will prevail in the end because of Jesus Christ. We have faith in the end of our stories because we know who Christ is and what it is that Christ has done. What keeps us from growing weary and giving up is what Christ has already endured on our behalf. What keeps us in that commitment, even when the excitement has worn off, even when the easy has worn off, is the commitment that Christ already made towards us. Before I even knew I needed Jesus Christ, he was committed to giving his life for me. Before I knew Christ, Christ knew me. Before I loved Christ, Christ loved me. And before I knew I needed help, Christ had already done the work. He'd already paved the path. He'd already set up the way to help somebody like me. Now, I don't know about you, but I've quit a lot of things over my lifetime. I've gotten really excited about things. I've gone all in to start them, and then I fizzled, and I've given up on more things than I can count. Just again and again, something seems like a great idea, and then it doesn't, and I don't want to do it anymore. But friends, Christ has never quit on us. Christ has never given up on you or me. And we know that we can prevail, not just in this time, but in all things, because Christ has already prevailed. Here's what helps us stay on perspective with this. It's easy to get lost right now because there's so many things coming at us from all kinds of different directions. There's all kinds of voices and there's all kinds of opinions and there's all kinds of news and media and it's loud. And it's easy to get lost in what's important right now because everything feels important. Everything feels urgent. But if everything's important, then nothing is important because we get lost in it. So what helps us stay on perspective and on focus here is asking ourselves right now, what is the most important thing right now? What's the most important? Even in this chaos, even in this mess, even in all of the things happening, what's most important? And again and again and again, I would argue for us, what's most important is our commitment to Jesus Christ. What's most important is our trust in him. Because when we focus on these things, we're able to be better at everything else. When I focus on my commitment to Jesus Christ, I'm able to go back and be a better mom, a better wife, a better friend, a better preacher, a better everything when I get my focus on Christ as the most important thing. And in that space, Christ gives us the strength and the confidence that we need to face the messy reality of today. even the hard ones and the disappointing ones and the frustrating ones. That's what Christ helps us do. And let's be honest, it's not easy. It takes resilience and grit to stay committed. It takes perseverance and endurance to keep the commitment even when it isn't easy. So I want to give us a couple suggestions on how to do this well. Psychologist Edith Grotberg, she said that we need reminders to be able to cultivate that kind of strength within us. So often what happens when life gets hard, when things don't work out the way we think they're supposed to, we're focused on the things we don't have, right? We've heard a lot of things that we can't do and we don't have right now, and we get focused on that, and we focus on who we aren't and what we can't do. But instead, she says, if you do that, it's easy to get stuck there, right? To get lost in what we can't do and lose sight of any possibility or any opportunity. When we're so focused on what we can't do, we miss out in this place where we say, what can God do right here, right now? So here's the suggestions that Grotberg gives us. Here's what she says we should do instead. Instead of saying, I'm focused on what didn't work out, what I don't have, who I'm not, and what I can't do, she says, here's three things to focus on instead. So if you're looking at your notes or you're writing things down, write down these three ideas. I have, I am, and I can. We start with, what do I have? This is the external supports that are around us. What do you have? Who do you have in your life right now? Write these things down. I have people who care. I have friends who will listen. Even when I drone on and on with my long list of complaints, God bless them, they'll listen. I have a home that is a place that brings us what we need. I have a God who loves me so much, he gave his life for me. I have a family that I would walk through any hard moment to be with because they matter so much. I have today. I have this moment right now. We focus on the external supports that we have. What do we have? Instead of listing what we don't have, we say, write down right now everything that we have. And then the second thing is, I am. These are the inner strengths that we carry, the values that we can work on and practice and develop. So it's things like, I am a person who is trying to live with courage. And when I remind myself that, what happens is I have to say no to the things that scare me. I have to say no to the fear that would keep me from doing the right things. I have to say no to things that just inundate me with so much fear that I can't function in a healthy way, so that I can focus on saying yes to doing the hard things that have to be done. I'm a girl who wants to persist. I don't want to quit. That's a value that I want to practice and develop. I'm a person of faith, a woman of hope. Who are we? We can say things like, I'm kind, I'm a hard worker, I'm a person who chooses healthy things. And when we say this, we focus on what we have and who we are. And then the last one is, we say, I can. And this answers the question, what can you do? We all have options. We all have things right now that we can do. We have problem-solving skills that we can bring to work on and practice in the situations of life right now. I can ask questions. I can listen. I can wait. I can pray. I can talk to people. I can do the work, even when it's hard. I have, I am, and I can. These three things help put us back on the road of possibility. They open our hearts to, okay, if I say I'm committed to Christ, how do I do that? How do I put my heart open to what God can do? And David says that's what we do. We commit our way to God and we trust in him. And then he gives us the other side. We get to see what God can do. So many days we don't know the way forward, right? We don't know what the next day is going to look like. But we do know, I know, I can stay committed to Jesus Christ right now. I can trust in him and follow him. I don't know what fall and winter are going to look like, but I do know that Christ is with us as we face these things. So we know what we do, and then David tells us this is what God does. He says, when we do this, God will act. He'll bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. God will act. It's who he is. He's the one who shines a light. From the beginning of time until today, God's been working. From the very beginning of time till now, God hasn't stopped working. The earth turns and the seasons change and the trees grow and the grass fades, and day after day, God is at work. For all of eternity, God's been at work. And there's nothing in all of our history to tell us that God is somehow done today. God isn't done yet. He's not finished. We have faith in the end of our story because we always remember God is at work. Because we don't ever forget that God's got more to do. He is not finished yet. We remain hopeful for the future because we believe, we know that there's still more to do and that the best hasn't even happened yet. God still has better plans. You know, the greatest tragedy that we could experience in life is if we quit before God is done. It would be a monumental loss for us to miss out on what God has in store for our future. Because God isn't done. Not with you and not with me. Not with our family, not with our community, not with our country, not in this church. God's not done. There's work to do and it won't be easy. But we know that God is at work. In us, in this messy, crazy world, God is at work. And friends, it does take all the resilience and courage and faith that we have to stay committed. But our promise is, if we stick it out, we get to see what God is going to do next. God gave us each other. God gave us the church. God gave us this space to stir each other up, to remember that we have work to do. We're not finished yet. As long as God is working, we have things to do, and Christ is with us to see us through. Christ, the one who's already done the hardest work and fought the hardest fight, he is by our side and he'll see us through. I love how the Message translation takes these verses, and I want you to hear what it says. It says, open up before God. Keep nothing back. He'll do whatever needs to be done. He'll validate your life in the clear light of day and stamp you with approval at high noon. We can remember that God is a God who helps. And in our darkness, he is the light. In our confusion, he's the way out. In our pain, he is our comfort. In our frustrations, he is our joy and our delight and our peace. And he's also the greatest validation that we could ever find. We don't need anybody else to validate us because Christ already has. He's the one who sees us and knows us and loves us. He's the one who finds us, who shows us the way to go. He encourages our hearts and gives us the faith and the strength that we need to continue. Why wouldn't we open our hearts to him? Why would we hold anything back? Why wouldn't we do the work to stay committed to the one who's always been committed to us? Friends, God is at work, and he's going to do what needs to be done again and again and again, and we can trust in him. He is the exact reason why we don't ever lose faith in the end of our story, because who knows what our awesome God might do. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you would please take these words and help our heart to focus on them this week. I pray, Father, that you would renew in us a spirit of commitment to you. I pray, Father, that you would just help us to trust you in ways that we've never trusted you before. Father, I pray that we would just tear down the walls we've put up, that we would hold nothing back and give you all of our lives, all of our hearts, all of ourselves. I pray, Father, that you would give us the ability to trust in you and what you still might do. Help us, I pray. In Jesus' name, Amen.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the tears stand the best for a world of lost sinners once slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then I'll call me someday to my home far away, where there's glory forever I'll stand. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will exchange it someday for a crown.
Thank you so much for tuning in. We can't wait to see you next week. Have a great day.